Welcome to She Struts Radio, where we give voice to women's stories, longings, pain, deepest heart's desires, and dreams, and support them in being unapologetically vocal, visible, and vulnerable women, happily claiming their place in the world. Now, here's your host, author and speaker, Deborah M. Ricks.
I'm Deborah M. Ricks, and I'm your host, and just delighted to be hosting a radio show. I love radio. I love doing this particular show because we lean into women, and it's all about helping women to find their voice and to speak our truth and to speak whatever it is, whether it's our pain or our desires. I am the mother of a senior. It's hard to believe since Howard University, it's hard to believe my daughter is graduating this year from Howard University, but she is, and I am glad to call this young woman daughter. I am the author of 3 books, and 2 of them are about relationships. So if that's something that you enjoy reading about, trust me, and I tell you, you will benefit. You will get value from both my books. One is called Love Addicted. The other one's called Why Did He Break Up With Me? And don't get the title twisted. It's chock full of information and inspiration. And there are 10 stories from bold, audacious women talking about what they learned from being dumped, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's really, if you can learn something, then you can go to the next relationship smarter, wiser, and hopefully more loving. And my most recent book is Write That Book. That's for those who are thinking about writing a book but just can't seem to get started. So go to my website at www.deborahricks.com, and I'm getting some back noise, deborahricks.com, and you can get signed copies of my books. The first person I'll introduce to you is Angela Beard Hardy. And I'm not going to tell you a lot. They will share more about themselves as we go along. But Angela is the owner and operator of Simple Wellness Day Spa, which is downtown Baltimore in the historic Mount Vernon area. Okay, and she is a leader, creator, ambassador, and pioneer. And she's an educator in the field of natural hair. Let me tell you, she knows her stuff, and she does my hair. So, well, I would not date her if she didn't know her stuff, right? And so Angela is partly responsible for this conversation, and I'll tell you more about that in a moment. So welcome to the show, Angela.
Hey, 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 Sephora!
This woman just came back from Dubai and some other places all the way over there. I have to get in her chair to hear all the details. And maybe
yes,
you have to do
girl.
Things, okay? But I saw the pictures on Facebook.
Thank you.
So we have one brave man with us this evening. And I do mean brave because, you know, I have gone to my share of workshops and I've been in the presence of men and women when we're talking relationships, and most of the time, men are scared to death to say anything. And they don't say anything, most of the time. What's that?
It's either brave or stupid.
Well, I will not decide which one it is. So Damon Molden, he is a self-described everyman's man. He's become the go-to person for armchair relationship advice. And clearly there are qualities that men and women, single and married, see in Damon and his 12-year relationship that would have them seek him out. I've talked to Damon myself. I know other people that have talked to him. He's a level-headed man. And I would not talk to a whole lot of men about relationships, okay? So welcome to the show, Damon.
Thank you. Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. Last but not least is Letitia Park. She is the Director of Agency Support Services at the Department of Citywide Administrative Services. That's a long title. And that's in New York City. I've been to her nice office, and she has a very spicy job, right? And I met Leticia here in Baltimore when she was running drug court.
Yeah.
So, but what I want to say about Leticia is what got her on this show. Part of it is Leticia and I have been friends for a good while, and she and I have conversations about relationships. And she's known to help her male and female friends with their love and companionship dilemmas. Okay, and she practices and believes in the philosophy that in life sometimes you have to forget what's gone, appreciate what remains, and look forward to what's coming next. In other words, don't cry over spilled milk.
Exactly.
So, welcome to the show, Leticia Park.
Thank you. Hi, Deborah. Hi, Angela. Hi, David. Thank you for having me, Deborah.
Now, you got to call his name right. You're welcome.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Damon.
Damon, I'm sorry.
What did you call me?
I'm starting off on the bad foot already. I'm abusing the only man on the air right now. Hi, Damon.
Yes, thank you. Hi, I've been called worse.
And we
I used to date a man named Damon, and I didn't want to have to call that name ever again.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
That's probably why I messed it up.
It's
better.
Coming out already. We already
cutting up.
So on that note, I'm telling the listening audience that I'm gonna ask you all any question that comes to mind. I have a list of questions, but we cannot cover half of this stuff, right? Because each topic could go for hours, right? Like, what do men want really? Where are all the good men? Are women lying when they say size doesn't matter?
Ooh,
is monogamy dead? Are all the good men already taken? What indeed is a good man or good woman anyway? What's a single black woman to do? And should black women start to squirrel? Should we be swirling more, right?
Oh, wow, Deborah, you're trying to make it hot.
Girl,
Deborah, you up to no good.
That's a show. Each one of those topics, those questions right there, could be a whole show in and of itself.
Oh yeah,
so,
especially the swirl.
And then the last one, just especially for Deborah, and my birthday is tomorrow. Right.
Ooh, happy early birthday!
Happy birthday!
Well, thank you. And listen, so this last one that I'm about to mention is especially for Deborah.
Okay.
Why mature women love younger men, okay? And why we should love them, all right? So we're going to do this show. That's coming up. That show is coming up because I just got to tell you this. I had a 21-year-old call me the other day said how gorgeous I was out of the blue. Okay, so he's 21. Now I say he's young, he's handsome too.
My
goodness. He's young. But he was
too
21.
Young.
All right. So
your head must have got real big, Deborah.
Oh, well, in a way, yeah. I mean, in a way, I was like, I said, how old are you? He's a 21. Anyway, he said he had been watching me for a while now. He used to work at the gym where I used to go. So there you have it. So, so we'll talk about that another time. So what I want to ask you all so I can start talking and let you all start is, what do you think is going on right now with relationships? You know, what are some of the frustrations that people are experiencing. And then each one of you could just take that and talk a few minutes about that.
Okay, so I guess I'll go take a stab at it.
All right, you start.
Okay,
so what's going on relationships? Black relationships, Deborah, or just in general?
I would say let's focus on black since we're all black here.
Okay, so black relationships, of course, they're at war. It's just, you know, it's a struggle to keep the love alive. And I think the one of the issues with black relationships and black love in general is that a lot of men and women don't know who they are. They don't know what they need. And they're not well. Black people carry a lot of issues. And so you bring that to the relationship, and that presents all kinds of challenges. And then I'm just going to let Damon or Angela pick up from there.
I'm ready.
All right.
Go ahead.
I can almost echo what you just said. I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
As far as in black relationships, I feel like there's a instead of a team, a lot of couples are kind of competing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's really a team thing. It's taken me many years to learn that myself. But I still see it through my single friends, and a lot of it, I know for men, it's fear.
Insecurity or just fear?
Fear of marriage or monogamous serious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people talk about what they're not going to do. That's the first thing that comes out of their mouth, you know? Like, you know, but I'm kind of the opinion you really don't know what you're going to do or not going to do because, you know, every person's different. Every relationship's different.
Right.
All right. I want in on this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I agree with both of you all, and if I had to, I guess, summarize it, for me, relationships require, one, that you are 100% true to yourself. Be true to thy own self so that you know what you want. You know, and it's okay to say I don't know, you know, what I want, but just be true to yourself where you're being honest and sincere to yourself from the beginning. And then once you're in a relationship, feel like it's okay to be transparent and vulnerable and weak. I think we, as you want to say, black people, black women, whomever it is, we have this thing, and this is kind of piggybacking on what Damon says, we have this attitude about us where no one's going to see us fall, no one's going to see us fail, and you're not going to catch me off guard. So we have this defense mechanism where we bring to the relationship because we are built to be strong from the beginning. And we got to let that go so that we can let somebody in. And I think for me, that's what I had to learn. Like, okay, I got to be transparent, vulnerable, and weak. And I got to, and I use weak in a good term, you know.
No, you got to let your guard down.
Let your guard down and know that.
You don't have to be strong all the time. Black women want to be strong all the time.
Yes, that is sexy to be transparent and say, you know what, baby, I don't know how to do this. Well, I don't want to do this by myself. You know, but we've been conditioned to be that tough one. So to me, that's what's going on with relationships. One, not knowing who we are as individuals and knowing what we like and what we don't like, or feeling like it's something wrong to say what we like and don't like. And then on top of that, just not being transparent.
Yeah. And just to piggyback on what you said, Angela, when you said that to be weak, sometimes, you know, women, maybe my friends, we see men with weak women, what we would deem as weak women, you know, like needy, and we say, God, why are they with them? But men like that for whatever reason, because they're not trying to be strong. You know, they're vulnerable, as you said. They, you know, they're transparent. And I think that's why most men gravitate to those women.
And you know what, Leticia, to me, the art of femininity has been lost. And when you think of, let me give an example.
Okay.
When you think of a female in the feminine term, when you think of that femininity and that just softness and gentleness, I experienced, you know, a guy just coming up out, I had bags, and said, can I carry those bags for you? You know, and for me, hey, I'm a lady. It's nice to have a gentleman offer that. You sure can. My trunk is parked right there. Can you put it in the trunk for me? Whereas someone else, like, oh, no, I have it. I got it. And, you know, it's something that small, or someone holding the door. It's something that small that makes a big difference from a mental standpoint. If you are in the position to just say, you know what, hey, let a strong man open that door. Let a strong man hold those bags. It's almost like we're fighting for power in a relationship when you don't have the art of femininity.
Yep, you're right.
So let me explore this, because what I'm hearing you say, what I heard Damon say was men have fear. Now, I want to flesh that out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
say more about that, and then I'll.
I also want to jump back and speak on the weak women aspect.
Okay.
For a lot of guys, it's just easier. Just easier that like you're right. Some women want to be led. And it's easier as far as any kind of, you know, if you have a strong woman, she's not always being led. It's more like negotiating.
Okay. This is true.
You know, and it's like I said, in simplest terms, for some guys, it's just easier to find, find a person that just wants to be led. Then they can be the man by default, because this person is, they don't have to prove it. They don't have to justify it.
Right. It just is, right, Damon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if a man wants to lead, so what I'm hearing you say in that, Damon, is that he doesn't have to be much of a man. I hate to put it that way. But
but you're saying it right.
He doesn't have to be much of a man with a weak woman.
That's
but
correct.
With a woman who knows who she is. Wait a minute. So with a woman who is strong, I'm not talking about the ball busting woman. I'm talking about because I want to talk more about that too, because that is you all make some good points. Angela, you bring up a very good point. That's a very big issue in our relationship. And I see it's like I want to really unpack this, because let's say you got the woman, right? And this is to Damon right now.
Okay.
If you got the woman, you got the woman who is able to be weak, because there's nothing wrong with weak. I don't think we have to even justify always say, oh, weak is, no. We can be vulnerable, and we can be weak, and we can be strong, and we can be powerful, we can be sad. We can do the, run a gamut. We ought to be able to have all of those emotions and all of those experiences in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's
mm-hmm.
say a man has a woman like that, and she's not emasculating him, but she knows who she is. What do you say about that? Does that man have to raise the bar? He has to be more of a man to that woman? Or would that make it work for any, in other words, if she's more vulnerable and more transparent, to use Angela's word, would that...
Now this might be an overgeneralization, but doesn't every woman want more from a man?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Like when you meet somebody, you're kind of looking at the potential as well.
But both of us are.
Right. And sometimes you might just be in the initial meeting, that might be all there is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. The man might do enough to get you a woman's attention initially, but that might not be enough to sustain it. They may have to bring more. So you're going to have to bring more as a relationship goes on. And that's...
I think that's one of the mistakes that is commonly made, looking at the potential and not looking at what it is in the moment. I know I've made that mistake plenty of times, whereas I'm looking at someone for what they can be and what I hope they will be and not for who they are. So I would agree that, the potential is what we look at in the beginning, not a mature relationship, one that is built on a foundation that we hope to last.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Amen.
But
amen,
that's like the honeymoon
that.
Period.
Amen.
You know, that's the beginning of a relationship, the infatuation, then the expectations come in later.
You know, it's funny because I said it, I say it jokingly, but it is some truth to it. I've read statistically the representative in the relationship. You know, we all got our representatives. The representative
mm-hmm.
actually sticks around for 6 weeks. So it's 42 days that you have this representative. And then
and,
that day 43 or so.
Angela, you said 42
person,
days?
Yes, ma'am, honey. 6 weeks.
My representative stay around for 62. I give it a good 2 months before I start, you know,
average,
start breaking
average,
wind and stuff around you. Before I start farting and everything.
By then,
on
by
average.
Then, by then he's invested, right?
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't break wind until after 2 months.
You got 2 months on there. Oh, Leticia, one slip out, girl. You just wanted to let it slip out.
I know. That's, I start running, you know, I run to the bathroom and I cough and all that stuff during the first 60 days. After that, I say, hey, listen, that's me.
Well, see, that's because you, Leticia, that's because you're not average, baby. You're above average. But on average.
Okay, on average.
On
42
average,
days.
6 weeks, 42 days, right?
Okay.
So you got these representatives that you're meeting. And you're falling in love with, and then all heck break loose. So
right.
I think from a mature relationship standpoint, from someone that's dating from the standpoint of, you know, I've learned stuff in the past that I'm not going to repeat, you kind of have that concept of, let me just be me. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to wait 42 days to meet Angela. You're going to meet Angela. Now, hey, am I going to let you smell all that stuff we just talked about right on? That's just respectful. You ain't ready for that. You know? But being honest, you know, when you bring the real you to the table, you eliminate some of that BS that we go through in our 20s and early 30s. You eliminate some of that. So you just hope you meet somebody
yes.
else that's willing to be
I like
a part.
How you said early 30s because, I mean, a lot of people still not grown after
mm-hmm.
35.
Mm-hmm.
Some
well,
people still struggling.
I want to talk about what you said, Leticia. You said a lot of people are not well. What do you
right.
mean by that?
What I mean is that when you get into a relationship and you meet someone, okay, let me just start off by saying hurt people hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times
mm-hmm.
people are hurt and those wounds have not healed. And then they're in a relationship again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're in the 42-day period like Angela described. And then, right, after that, the hurt starts showing. The insecurities, the fear, as Damon mentioned, the, you know, that's not really my car, you know, that type of thing starts showing. And I'm just saying, as a whole, I think that black people aren't well. We have a lot of issues that we bring into the relationship. You know, we have people been molested since, you know, that was common in the black family. And I'm not sure about,
mm-hmm.
you know, white, but I just know that black people, I hear a lot of those stories where, you know, you sat on Uncle Chester's lap or, you know, Aunt Betty was touching you, those type of things, and we weren't allowed to get help because
mm-hmm.
it was said as something's wrong with your kid. So basically you grow up, now you're an adult, and you're still hurt. And now you're in a relationship. Those feelings come out after a while because you let your guard down, you become transparent, as we mentioned, and now it's a problem because you're not healed,
yes.
you're not well.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for, you
and
know,
it,
not just the man, the woman too. You know, we're just not well. We have problems that we bring into the relationship.
Yeah.
We're carrying
indeed.
That same flu around. We're carrying that same flu around. Well, I'm going to try again.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
know?
Many times
and that,
you And many times you take it from relationship to relationship.
Exactly.
You're not addressing it.
Deborah, remember
and
we were in the park? In the park you did that thing with the, I think it might have been you and Angela. You guys had all that baggage. You
yeah,
were carrying around
no,
luggage.
It wasn't Angela, but yeah,
oh.
in the park. Yeah, when we did yeah. that, that was not this past year, but the year before at the
exactly.
sister gathering to heal, yes. Exactly. And you know what's so sad about all of that is that we could really heal and help each other heal if we weren't so fearful of each other. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
because
it's a learned behavior.
It's like you get into a relationship You know, I've done it myself, and get into a relationship, and when you start out, it is that lovely period when it seems like everything's, you know things can go wrong or things gonna come up, but in that early stage, it feels so doggone good. You're like, I can't imagine what's gonna go wrong. Now I don't do that anymore because I know things will happen. But you're like, you're in that stage where it feels so good, and you're getting along, and the little things that would bother you later that become a big thing, they're not bothering you then. They're kind of cute, and you know, it's
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get to that place, and this is the place where the real work comes, and this is when people jump ship or they shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can flee, and they flee right within the relationship. People flee. They can be right in the relationship, but they're not there. They're not present.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna say this to people like Angela and Damon. We all know we go to the same spiritual center, and the reality is that this thing called the spiritual bypass that people do. And that's simply that people get so spiritual that they don't deal with their emotions that are toxic
mm-hmm.
or unhealed and damaged. And they're like,
I'm so
spiritual. And, you know, and I've done some of that myself. Like, you, all this meditation and prayer and all of that, and you feel very ill because you're not dealing with your emotions.
Exactly.
And so those mm-hmm. are the emotions that flare up in the relationship, and
mm-hmm.
then people shut down, they run. They freeze, they start hurting each other, it's tit
mm-hmm.
for tat and all of that sort of stuff. And how do we, what I'm going to say, what I know to be true, is that we got to start dealing with our emotions. We have to deal with the emotions that are hijacking our relationship and
mm-hmm.
deal with the real root of our insecurities and fear. And
mm-hmm.
you mentioned it, Angela, about the transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when a woman can say to a man, well, I had to learn to start saying this myself, that instead of going into rage when he hurt my feelings, I have learned, and I'm not saying I got it down yet, but I have learning to say that hurts. That hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts.
And that's so hard to say, Deborah.
You know what I mean?
That's so hard
mm-hmm.
to say.
That's the key.
What you did hurt me, and it made me feel this way. That is really hard to say. I've tried
mm-hmm.
it, and it again, it speaks to being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that competitiveness has to lead. That ego needs to go, and that pride.
Yeah,
and that's really
no
hard
that.
In black relationships, especially
mm-hmm.
Damon, excuse me, with the men.
For? But what are we
We're competing.
For?
It's because I don't know if it came from slavery or what's going on with us, but it's just some kind of I don't know what it, I'm saying competitiveness because sometimes you have men and it's like they have to prove themselves just because you got a good job, you're educated, and you may like him if as a sanitation worker with a high school diploma,
mm-hmm.
but they feel like they have to compete with you and. And that's what's making him a man. I'm going to show her when I work overtime, I make the same amount she does.
Can I say something?
It's a natural survival mechanism. It's a natural survival mechanism that we have. I mean, we possess this natural survival mechanism as well as a defense mechanism that's just in us.
Right.
Now, it's not a bad thing if it's channeled to the right energy. It's
mm-hmm.
funny because, you know, people will say, yeah, a black woman, you can't keep her down and this and that, go get us. And we really are. You messed up on one thing and we finally, you know, we just find a way to just turn it around, say we're going to do this, and this, and we're going to make it happen. Okay, we might not have figured it out here, but we got it going on over here. And we are go-getters. We're strong. And it's just not, I'm saying just black people in general. We have this survival mechanism in us. However,
exactly.
It has to be an on and off switch.
Right.
As a business owner, I have to know how to hit that switch when I come in my home or when I enter my relationship. That
mm-hmm.
same boss B that I run the shop with can't be that same person that thinks she's going to come home and run her household that way.
Mm-hmm.
If not, if it's not something that I work on personally, because it's not a natural behavior to know when to turn something on and off. So if
right.
I don't work on that personally, then I come in and I'm doing what you guys said. I'm competing for power. I'm competing to show my strength. I'm competing to show that I can survive with or without you. I got this. Now, that may genuinely be true, but who wants to feel like they're not needed? Why should I bring that to my mate to make him feel like, I don't need you, I got this, hey, you leave me today, I'm going to be all right? Who wants to feel that way? You know, who wants to feel like they don't, their spouse doesn't need them, their spouse doesn't feel like their life is complimented because they're in the life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's something I had to learn and had to practice over and over and over, and be willing to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I messed up, let me take a back seat, or let you do this. I hear what you're saying, and I'm being defensive for no reason. And the moment I learned that the relationship was about me and not the other person, I stopped repeating the mistake. I stopped blaming the other person. Oh, I always attract that same type of dude. No, that's because you didn't change who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I read something about attracting who you are.
You
yeah.
sound very enlightened.
Yeah. Well, I learned the hard way, y'all.
But let me tell you, so in a most common scenario, you know, you use the example of, you know, the woman making more money and being competitive. If that is the case, in a real-life scenario, when everything's good, that might not come up. But,
mm-hmm.
but when there's some tension, that's when that stuff comes up. Like,
mm-hmm.
if there's a... You know what I mean? You might be thinking
mm-hmm.
that, but at some point you're going to go through a hard time, and sometimes people say stuff that, you know, before they think about it. But that's a real issue in that scenario, and I guarantee any couple that's been through that has had to have that conversation at first to get over it, but it does come up. I've heard it many times.
You always have to placate your man and stuff. Sometimes women have to, I guess, like Angela said, turn the switch. But at the end of the day, is that fair? Is it fair that we have to undermine who we are to make you feel better?
Well, I wouldn't call it undermine. I don't feel like
that's not undermining.
Yeah. So let me give an example of more specific of Angela in the past and Angela today.
Okay.
So I've been married. I'm not married now. I'm actually dating. You know, and for me, in the past when I was married, my spouse at the time wasn't financially responsible, we'll say, okay? And so we would get turn-off notices because the BG&E is about to be turned off. And instead of me, okay, let me say what I did do, and then I'll tell you what I think I should have done. What I did when that BG&E turned off notice came, I increased the amount of clients I took that time. You know, so instead of me working 12 hours a day, I worked, what, 15, 16, 17 hours a day for that week, you know, to hustle and get it taken care of. Instead of showing and expressing, not just in words, but also in actions, baby, look, I need you to be the provider that
mm-hmm.
you agreed to be. I need you to bring what you said you were going to do to the table because we depend on you. I had to be strong enough to let us fail. That takes more strength than being strong enough to say, I can show you, I'm going to make sure our lights stay on with or without you, and I don't need you, and I can take care of this, and I get the bills paid. For me, it took more strength to sit back and say, you know what? You said you was going to do this. I was dependent upon you to do this, and this is what I needed. So if the lights are turned off, this is what you did to your family. You know, but for me, what I did, I took my Angie Boss B attitude. I was very aggressive, and I hustled. I hustled my butt up, and I got the money. And this just didn't happen one time. But, you know, I hustled to get the money. And what I said to that man, who was my husband at the time, is, you don't do your part, I'm going to step up and do it. I'm going to be the man and the woman in this relationship. And whether you take care of us, we're going to be all right. Now, some might say, well, what, you want to sit in the dark in the cold? But sometimes we might have to sacrifice that strength to be even stronger in the long term. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, it's a thin line of learning how to balance that. But you don't always have to take care of it. You know, and that's what I had to learn, was that, you know what, sometimes it's okay to just say, you know what, this is not okay. I was dependent upon this. We were dependent upon this. And now you have failed us, and this is where we are, versus I got this. Because that I got
Angela. You know what? This scenario is interesting. But I'm just wondering, is that realistic, though, to expect a woman who you got a man and you got a turn off notice and you, let's say you got a baby in the house, or even if you don't, but let's say you got a child in the house. Is that realistic for a woman to say, okay, I'm going to just let the lights get turned off, and then he'll see how he ought to be stepping up, and then he'll step up. So,
well, let me say this. That was an extreme scenario, okay? That was an extreme scenario. However, it was my life at one point. However, in that scenario, it spoke volume to why did I stay? If I had to constantly step up and, you know, it spoke volume to where I was. Why did I stay in a relationship where I had to constantly step up? And
so
said before was emasculate.
And it speaks to the fear.
Michael Basin, who I don't remember hardly anything he said except this, and he said this before he had his radio show. He was on a show here in Baltimore. And he said, a woman has to admire her man. Now, I think that that has to be the foundation, because when you're with a man you admire, now it doesn't mean he does everything wrong, right? I mean, he doesn't do everything right. But I think you're going to give him a little bit more
leeway,
benefit of the doubt. And leeway, because he doesn't keep letting you down and keep failing you or keep not showing up. See, when you got that kind of man, then you can say, oh, well, he messed up this time, but he usually shows up and shows out. He usually got his business. So I think you got to have that first before you there being a little woman, because the little woman can't be no little woman with a man who ain't showing up and doing what he needs to be doing.
I was going to say, as a man, I wouldn't really feel too good about myself if that was a chronic problem.
Exactly.
You know, if it's a one-time thing, I'm going to say, hey, babe, can you got to get the BG&E this time, you know?
As a smart woman, I'm not going to follow someone that's not leading the way they're supposed to lead, you know.
But
I think we have to be willing to follow as well.
But it's hard because, okay, you know, I'm not going to follow you into the dark. And some of our men need to make a lot of mistakes before they get it right. And what I find is that the woman that is the disciplinarian, for lack of a better term, and you telling them, listen, this is what needs to be done, this is how it has to happen, and then your relationship gets all messed up because they're not meeting the expectations of the relationship. They're not doing their part. But then they get with another woman or man, and they know how to do it. So
well,
it always has to be the sacrificial lamb.
It's funny, I was going to say, that's a running joke amongst me and some of my close girlfriends, because I always say, oh, you took one for the team, or I took one for the team, because that's what it is. And I tell you, I would never, and you talk about this little, you know, the younger, dating younger men, I would never date a younger, I would say younger than 40 at this point in my life, because there are some mistakes that they have to actually experience hands-on at someone else's expense.
Angela, I've been having these men older than 40, and they still making them bad mistakes.
Oh, Lord. I hope it gets better about it.
I can tell you that was a cutoff age, because it ain't.
Child.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's the man. I see some younger men. I see some younger men be holding it down in ways that older men are out there still with that player card. You know what I mean?
Deborah, you're biased.
But I mean,
you have to expect.
But I'm not even talking about men that I've dated. Like I can look at, I got people. I mean, I know some younger men that are married to other people, or like even my nephew. My nephew is 25 years old. Now he doesn't have all his stuff and everything, but he's doing so many things, and he contributes to the household. He's still with his mother right now, but he's like, he treats women a certain kind of way. He's a biology major at Morgan. He got a $50,000 thing that he won some few years ago. This thing, you know. In other words, he's a responsible. He's a responsible, like whoever. He's like the Barack Obama in my family, right? He's like, whoever's going to get him, if they don't, some of the women don't see what, they don't see him yet, but when whoever gets him is going to be like Michelle Obama, like, yeah, y'all missed out. Y'all didn't see what was right there in front of you.
Yes, they're going to be sitting pretty.
whoever woman's smart enough to see what kind of man he is, I think they're going to be happy down the road. But my point is, some of the older men, because of my age, the men have been raised a certain way, some of them. Most of them been raised a certain way, and they have these kind of all outdated ways of thinking that got them kind of, that's another conversation at another time. But I think it's really about maybe even how they were raised and how they committed to their evolution. You know, so it could be any age to me. I don't see the older men having it down necessarily. I'm not impressed.
I guess I'm just hopeful, right? But yeah,
I'm not impressed.
So no matter what the age is, there's still sometimes you have to take one for the team, and sometimes we do. And you have to look at it that way. And I think it works both ways. You know, I pick on the men about it more. But it works both ways, because there are some things that my poor ex-husband went through that nobody I date now will go through, because I've learned and I've seen things differently, and I also know myself better.
Because you're not taking that baggage from one relationship to the other. You're
dropping a bag off
each time. You're like, okay, then leave that bag. You're getting better. You're getting better, right? But it's kind of hard. I mean, when you're let down and those expectations aren't met and you go to the next relationship, you're like, oh, boy, all right, let's see how this goes.
But see, what I see with Angela, and because the time that I've known Angela, one thing about Angela is that she does look at herself. See, if you're not looking at yourself and you're just looking out there, which some people still don't know, that you need to look in the mirror and see what you're doing and not doing. But a lot of people, some people are still unconscious, and they keep pointing the finger. I pointed the finger, but then, like they always say, that thumb pointing right back at you, right? That you know, whatever, it's like you've got to look at yourself. And so I have seen you do this, Angela, where you will say, okay, you know, look at what you've done and how you can be better. And that is the key. I don't see enough men doing that, though. I don't.
It's too easy to bail.
It is too easy to bail, and the solution that you're suggesting really works if both people are close to the same level of emotional maturity. But just because you're in a relationship together, you still may be at different levels, and how do you get through that?
For a moment. I have a caller. I have someone that wants to get in on this. I'm gonna play some music, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna invite our callers in to add their voice to the conversation, because it's hot and juicy.
Of course, we know.
I want to talk about sex before it's all over.
Oh yeah,
so,
I like that topic. That's my favorite. I'm always open for that.
I'd rather enjoy that myself. Okay, so here we go. And if you want to get in on this conversation, press 1 upon our return. You're listening to She Struts Radio with Deborah M. Ricks, Letitia Parks, Damon Molden, and Angela Beard Hardy.
And just hold on. I want you to, I want to hear my girl here. That's all.
But that music is awesome. I was in here doing the two-step. Mm. Wow.
I know. That's Jill Scott right there.
Oh, that Jill is something else.
Ain't she, though? Ain't she, though? Love myself and Jill Scott. Yes, yes, yes. So if you don't know nothing, that's
you don't know
what she's talking about. You don't know nothing about love, okay?
Love. Right, that was
yes.
right on point. You couldn't tell me I wasn't in a video. I was in here rocking these hips back and forth.
Oh God, you are crazy. You made me me and Letitia went to Paris together. I met her over in Paris and we did a video and I think I still got that video of you dancing and doing a Mary J. Blige or something. She's wild. Anyway, I love it. Okay, so here we are. We don't even have time to talk much about sex because we're supposed to be. Do you think we brought any kind of enlightenment yet? Any solutions? I'm gonna bring the caller in, and I just want to make sure people getting something
from it, right?
Yeah, because We got to do this again. I hope you all are open to doing this again.
Yeah.
We
should be like, you know, those movies that have, like, what, Freddy Krueger was like 13 of them? Part one, we just do part two, you know, keep going.
Well, if y'all are up for it, I'm going to sign you. You don't have to
sound good.
You don't know.
Okay.
You know I'll do it. You know I'll
with,
do it.
We're three the hard way now. We're a gang.
What's that?
With we the hard way, we're a gang now. We're good. We're the relationship
gang.
Well,
that's what's up. Mm-hmm. So, are you okay, Damon? With you got four women here. Are you okay?
I knew it.
You fair
enough? I didn't want to say anything. I said it's going to be another woman.
Uh-oh.
Okay. That's fine.
What's
going to
be another?
Conversation's going. I don't feel attacked. I feel everything's fine.
Because you know the brothers are out there fearing to come on.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
David's so cool. David can hold his own. So I didn't have any worries whatsoever. And we're not attack dogs or anything. We're not going to attack
not
you.
At all.
Not at all. And I'm going to tell you the thing about it is that the more healed I become, the less likely I'm going to attack anybody. I might speak my truth, but I don't really need to attack you to do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I might just, you might not like what I say, but it won't be attacking you.
Yeah,
you know
that lets
I mean?
The communication flow.
Yeah, so let me get our call in. I think I know who this wonderful person is. Welcome to She Stress Radio. We're talking about love to roll. 773.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear what number it was. Janine.
I forgot to say it. Hey, Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Hello. Hi. You know, we've been through so many. I've been, like, wanting to come in and so many things. I guess my point is, you know, so many things. Let me just stop and just go with one thing. Okay, so I've been married for 31 years, and I just want to say
congratulations.
All right.
So thank you so much. But being married for 31 years, you learn so very much. And what I learned about relationships are definitely, and all relationships are definitely a reflection of you. You only can invite into your space what your energetic expression is sending out. So when you invite people into your space through your energy, you have to check yourself. Because let me tell you, through my relationship, I learned, and Angela is absolutely right. When you step into your feminine energy, your man will step into his energetic space. Because everything is about energy. So when I was operating in my masculine energy, oh, my God, I was so messed up because I didn't understand energy at that time. And I didn't understand. All I knew, and it's interesting because my daughters are grown now, and we were talking. They said, Mom, it's really interesting how you changed so much. They say, we remember, even though you were always nice, it was just something about how you walked in the house because, you know, I was a CEO, running my business, making money, driving my business, doing this, you know. And my husband he's an electrician, had been an electrician. He would get off at 3:30, pick the kids up, and it was just a very different energy in the house. Because I didn't understand how to operate in my feminine energy. But when I learned how to operate in my feminine energy and honor his masculine energy, the relationship changed so drastically. And so I just wanted to say that it's important that we learn as women how to operate in our feminine energy. And when we learn how to operate in our feminine energy, our men will show up differently in our space. In 31 years, I've made those mistakes. Because I got with my husband when I was 19. And, baby, we've been through some ups, some downs, some changes, some turnarounds. But if I knew loving me would have taught me how me, because loving me, learning just simply learning how to honor me and love me and appreciate me, he showed up differently. I just give you an example. One day we was in an argument, and when I was going to self-love, we got into this argument. I'm sitting in the middle of the bed saying, now, how is this a reflection of me? I'm sitting here. I was quiet. I was minding my own business. I don't even know why we in this argument. But I said, okay, Holy Spirit, this is a reflection of something that's going on in me. So I just poured love on it. I let him finish what he said, then I wrote myself a love letter. And I put it under my pillow, went to sleep. And I just put love on him. Now, normally I wouldn't get to sleep. I would be talking and talking. How come he's sleeping good? And be on my way to sleep because he's sleeping good and I'm not sleeping good because I'm upset now, all in this energy. But this time I didn't do it that way because I'm learning to love me, right? So I understand it's a reflection. I'm not really understanding energy. And I woke up with this love and I honored me and I went to sleep with loving me. And you know, the next morning, now he has not done this in the whole time that we was in our relationship. He's never woke up and apologized. I was always the one who said, let me apologize because I don't want us walking. So he wakes up this next morning and he says, you know, baby, I apologize. And do you know he said everything that I said to myself in that love letter? Somebody should have told me all it was energy and I needed to love me. And really, if I knew what I knew now, our relationship would have been so different from the beginning. And I think because, I'm not sure who said this, but we didn't get a model of how to handle relationships. Let me speak for me. I didn't see male and female relationships in my household. My mom wasn't with anybody. My sisters weren't with anybody. My auntie, you know, we didn't see relationships, and you didn't see a lot of relationships working. And if they did work, it didn't look good. And you like, I don't want none of that. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to learn how to be, how to honor ourselves, how to be true to ourselves. And because we gave so much of, as women, we gave so much of ourselves away in relationships. We took that kid, and we never put ourselves on the to-do list. It's a wonder why we didn't get treated right, because people treat you how you treat yourself. We teach people how to treat us by our energy. We say, and a lot of times you don't even have to be vocal. Your energy will let people know, oh, I can't come to her with that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to go ahead.
So, Janine, you may not have realized, or at least that you said this, or maybe I'm maybe interpreting it in a way, but you said that through the course of your relationship, your husband's energy had changed to match yours.
Exactly. It did. I did say that. When I learned how to change my energy, he changed his.
So when I was talking about fear, like, when you're in a relationship, it is going to change, and sometimes people just have that fear of change. It's not going to they don't know because they haven't been through it.
Right.
But that's some of the fear that I was speaking about earlier.
Yes, it
they
sounds
know
it's like
it's going to change.
Yeah, he was
everything is going to change in a relationship, and that's the other thing. You know, what I learned also being in a relationship for 31 years is that I had to learn to reevaluate what I wanted in a relationship. Just 3 years when my kids were all gone out the house, I had to say, I literally sat down on New Year's Eve and told my husband, I don't want to be roommates. Now, what is it that you want in a relationship? What do you still love about me? Do you really still want to be here? And if not, I have to honor the fact that you don't want to be here. Do I still want to be here? And if so, what are we going to do to make
it? Did you ask him those questions? You asked him those questions?
I asked him questions, and we did a vision
board. That's a lot of courage.
Together. Because
sometimes you may not like the answer, so, you know, it's, like, hard to say, what do you still love about me? Ooh, that's deep.
Well, and if he
isn't that a part of being transparent? And then the more that you love yourself, the more you can take the answers, you know? I noticed the more that I love myself, I can take more. I can handle more.
Exactly.
Well, whatever, you know?
And that's true, boy, because when I learned to love me, I could have honestly heard him say, I would rather be with somebody. I am seeing somebody. And I would have been okay with it. And because, you know why? I would have respected his honesty enough to know that this is for the highest and best of us. And I know if he needs to go somewhere else, I know somebody else is out there for me at the time that my divine time will come. And so that means something else for me. And I want to be in life being happy. I intentionally get up every day, and I go to my heart and say, I intend to make sure that my life is living amazing. I intend to find out what I desire and live an amazing life based on what I want.
I think if more people felt like you do, Janine, you know, the universe will be better. You know, it's a lot of illness out there because people haven't learned to love themselves and embrace the energy. And it's very difficult because black people, you know, historically, we haven't gotten that in our lives. We haven't received that. And so what you're saying is really powerful. It's good. But the problem is a lot of people can't do that because what that requires is looking at yourself. There's some ugly things there.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
That you don't want to look at.
But you
open Pandora's box, and now look.
It's not that we can't do it. It's that people are choosing not to do it. And the reality is that it's either you're going to go through a life and be in pain because you're not looking, or you're going to be in pain when you're looking, but at least when you're looking, the pain starts to ease.
Right.
There's at least some hope at the end of the tunnel when you're looking, because you're like, okay, yeah, oh, I don't like that about myself. Well, yeah, I got to deal with that. Okay, but then you do what you got to do. So I want to plug something here, and I want to ask Damon a question too. First of all, Janine is my Chicago friend, and she does a show. Well, it's a conference every morning, Monday through Friday, called The Love Journey. And one of the things that Janine does is she teaches, and she brings people on the call. I've been on the call, I don't know, now over a year. And the whole focus is on self-love. And one mm-hmm. thing that Janine has helped me to remember in me being a part of this call Monday through Friday is
wow.
that self-love is at the root. That's why if you go to my Facebook page, Spirit gave me this thing that says self-love is at the root of all good. It is at the root of all good. And I noticed for myself, the more that I love me, the less, like you said, Janine, everybody is a reflection. So that woman, if you're with a man, like you, if you were a man as a woman and he's not loving you the way, mm-hmm. you can be upset about it. But then for me, I had to look at myself, and the more I start to love me, either he's going to change or I'm going to leave. It can't
yep.
go any other way.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So mm-hmm. he's gonna get on board, and he's going to say, oh, you know what? She deserves this. I'm going to give her this. I'm going to give her that. Or I'm going to have to leave. And
right.
for anybody. Because mm-hmm. when you love yourself, there are certain things you just can't, you won't tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to, mm-hmm. they got to step it up or you go to leave. And so, Janine, and I can give you all the information because the love journey has really made a difference in my life, really, because one of the things that Janine does, and she talks about it, and she talked about it this evening, is that it's all about self-love. It's that, so she didn't, when her husband came home and they got into the argument, she didn't go at it. She just looked at herself. Well, how is this a reflection of me? And
yep.
then she poured love
Janine.
All over herself.
Nice. Janine, just real quick, when you were able to do that, how long were you into the relationship? You didn't start off like that.
Of course not. My first started off, let me literally tell you, one day we got into an argument, he was sleeping so good, and I really hate to tell this story because I'm so embarrassed. I literally took the clock and bammed him in his face. So, you know, we literally be in fights when I was young. You know, when you're young and you don't understand things and you
yeah,
don't.
Yep.
So, no, it wasn't always where we are today. We knew we loved each other, but we didn't know how to operate and navigate and respect boundaries. No way
right.
should I ever put my hands on him. No way. And luckily, he was such a phenomenal man that all he did was hit and literally scared the mess out of me. He's literally threw everything in the room off the shelf. He put a hole in the wall with his fist. And I was like, oh, my God, I hope you don't hit me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't. You know, I'm just saying, I really didn't understand and didn't know at that time. But today is different. Our
mm-hmm.
relationship, we know how
right.
to talk to each other. We understand how to operate in our lanes. We understand where our lanes are. And we know our boundaries. We know how not to disrespect each other. So our relationship is different.
That's that wisdom that comes with age.
And let me share an example of what Janine and Deborah, what you're both saying. You know, in the past relationship when I was married and unhappy, and as I was growing, I was increasing self-love, so much so that on a daily basis, I will wake up and say, I'm one day closer to the love that I deserve. I'm one day closer to the love
wow.
that I deserve.
Nice.
And when my husband at the time came to me and said, I no longer want to be married. I had to, one, my response was, okay, because I had got to the point where with or without, I know I'm okay because I love me. And it goes back to what Deborah, what you just said. Things will be moved out of the picture with ease. Now, granted, it was still a relationship that I felt like had failed, so it still hurt, but it still was removed with ease because I had developed this level of self-love that I knew I deserved more. I didn't know how it was going to come. At the time, I hoped that it came from that person I was comfortable with, but if it didn't, I had to be okay with that as well and trust God in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That faith is something else, huh, Angela?
It's true. It's powerful.
Well, it's and this self-love, when you are loving yourself more and more, that vibration is a
mm-hmm.
higher vibration. And that lower vibration that other person, if they don't start to love themselves more,
mm-hmm.
then they're not going to be able to vibrate with you. You can't keep vibrating with that person. So naturally,
energy.
Something has to happen. Because I'm going to tell you, even though we don't talk about it a lot, with the darkness does not like the light.
So if I've
been around like people where if you show up and you've been around people and you've been that person where somebody's like, well, why are you so happy? You know, like they're mad at you because you're happy. You know, and the only reason they're feeling that way is because they're not happy. If they were happy, mm-hmm. they'd just be like two happy people, right? So, it's like you said, Damon. We all saying it. You got to be, as the Bible said, equally yoked. But I do want to ask you this, Damon.
Yes.
When you said that men were fearful of not monogamy, but marriage and really like getting into a relationship, long-term relationship, what are the fears? Is it fear that they won't have all the options
The number one thing I hear is that men fear that the woman's going to change, right?
Once they get married.
I know it. And guess what my answer usually is? Guess what my answer usually is? Yes, they're going to change. Yes. It's going to change.
So are the men, right? The men change too, Damon, right?
They just don't know it yet.
If they're not willing to change,
then that's the relationship's going to fall apart. But, yeah, your woman's going to change.
Right.
Is there any particular fear, any particular change that they're most fearful of? Is it not getting as much sex? Because a lot of people claim that once the people get married, that sex falls right off. Boom.
Well, I think it's just in general the fear of change. You know, some people say the fear of change is the fear of the unknown. If you're stuck in fear right there at the beginning from the unknown, we can't really even go into those little details. But yeah, all those cliche things come up. And I can't tell the future for anybody, but the relationship will change if you stay with somebody long enough.
It goes through seasons like everything else.
But I think, Deborah, what you attempted to address, you said, is it the, you know, does the sex fall off? I think we get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm being transparent, Deborah. That's what I do. That was one of the mistakes I made. I was comfortable. So when someone else looked at my man and showed him some love and some, you know, attention and he followed through with it, I was like, what? Me? Because I got comfortable. And I lost my game. And so I think a lot of times, and when we're talking about long-term relationships, you got to stay on your game. You got to.
But men fall off, too, because in a relationship for women, mostly, the carrot dangling is the marriage. So once you get there, it's like, okay, I'm not wearing no lingerie no more. I'm wrapping my hair up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see the real me. And we really, like you said, Janine, you got to keep your game up. But men do, too. They fall off, too. They be falling asleep. Oh, that was Angela. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
They fall asleep after they, you know, have their little ejaculation. You're like, what?
No more cuddling.
Yeah, no more cuddling. Now you sleep, you're snoring and stuff. You're on top of them. Men do that, too.
So, yeah, you can't get comfortable.
Everybody changes some. But I'll tell you, I do think it's a mistake. What I have heard men say, and this is troubling to me, when some women, they act like they're such a beast in the bed, and as soon as they say I do, they just go from beast to what? Like,
I don't do that.
Like, you ain't going to do no more. Like, there's a comedian, in fact, who talks about sucking dick, right? And then she'll say, once she got married, he was like, baby, she's like, wow, man, you're crazy. I ain't doing that no more. I did that before we got married.
Oh, wow.
Who was that, Samoa? That was Samoa Deborah?
No, it wasn't Samoa. I don't even remember this woman's name, but I thought, No, this is some woman. I don't know her name. A time ago, somewhere I was in a hotel watching some movies or something, and this woman came on. I don't remember. It's a black woman, a comedian, and short blonde hair, if I remember. And she kind of like a real kind of kind of stocky kind of gal. But
what I
thought was kind of interesting was how she, like, she was actually probably speaking for other women. And I've heard men complain that women are one way when they get, before they get married, and then after, because it's like, it's not fair to the man. I got to give, you know, it's not fair if you all this, like, this, all this sexual being, and you so exciting and all that. And then
like, oh, I got the jackpot right here.
Exactly.
But, Deborah, there's some truth to what you're saying. There's some truth to what you're saying, because I can't count how many married men want to get hook up. You know, they're like the most aggressive things out there. So that's the point what you're saying. You know, the wife, we fall off, or they fall off, and they don't want to do what they used to do, because, again, the goal is to get married for women, most of them.
And that's sad, though. That's sad. It should be the marriage, not the wedding. But it's like the goal is to walk down the altar, or I mean down the aisle, instead of really have a marriage. But I just don't think that's a bait and switch kind of situation. And I'll be mad too.
Yeah,
I would really be pissed off. I got to tell you, when I got married,
I would divorce her.
31. Too. When I got married, I was more sexual. It was like, shoot, now I got some regular bitch. What are you talking about?
Right. You put a ring, look, you put a ring on it. You put a ring on it. I like this.
You know, I can't.
I got papers on my penis.
I think married people do have sex more.
Married people do sex more?
I think so.
Yeah, I would. I mean, now it's like, oh, wait, I got papers on this penis, right?
Yeah, it is more accessible. It's more accessible. You don't have to drive nowhere.
Right, it's right there. Just roll over, pull up your gown.
see, you already messed up. You got that old cotton gown on.
Look, you got your gown. Take off your silk scarf.
And leave
your
the
bonnet
on your head. Leave the stuff on your head.
Exactly. Take the bonnet off. One of my friends said, she don't wear a scarf. But I said, okay, we're going to see after she get married what happens. You got to preserve that hairstyle.
Here's the real deal. Here's the real deal, though. Something's going to happen. You got to sometimes do your hair, and you're going to go to bed with some stuff in your hair. But here's where I say women, especially, and men too, you should, whatever you did to get them, you should work to do that same thing to keep them. Because, you know, you making marriage a bad, giving it a bad name. Because the reality is that you're not going to do all that you used to do. Because once you get real familiar, you're going to get comfortable, because you used to live apart. If you used to live apart, you did those things, they weren't around. So every time they saw you, you had your lipstick on, you know, a mascara or whatever. But I would say this, it's important to do your best as men and women to when, you know, to fix up and not just to let yourself go. Also, when it comes to, like, some people, men and women, they start to eat a lot. It's just so crazy. And they just eat. And that's when you see that couple 2 years later, and they done gained 50 pounds.
Those are cruise people.
That's the
those are cruise people. I call them the cruise people, because, you know, you can eat everything on the cruise. Those are cruise people. I love the cruise. You love to eat. That's what you like. You love to eat. But, yeah, I believe what you're saying. But people fall off, but you have to stay on. It's really hard, but
you should stay on for yourself. I mean, it goes back to making you the primary person. Stay on for yourself. Keep your sexy on for yourself. Like, why wouldn't you want to keep that game up?
Right. You don't know when you're going back on the market.
You know, and when we talk about more married people having more sex, are we talking quality or quantity? Because I've been married having sex on a regular basis, and it was just as routine. I knew what position. I knew when. It was routine. It wasn't that same, you know, fire that it was because it was. That still had comfort. So yeah, there was a lot of sexual activity, but it was a comfortable routine, familiarity. That's what
you gotta bring out one of those homegirls. You know, those wigs. I call them homegirls. You gotta bring them out, and they call you by your name. Say, I'm not Angela tonight. Okay. My name is Sunita. You got to call him a bitch, you know? You got to say something. You got to liven it up.
That's
right. That's right.
I'm Sunita. Yeah, that's for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what, though? When you think about it, if you have found someone that you really feel it and they feel in you, it's worth that.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in. You know what I mean? If you found someone, if you have attracted someone, I should say, and y'all have walking this journey together, you really, like you said, Angela, you keep it up for you. Like, you know, like I work out. Like, and I know I heard what you said, Leticia. You said you never know when you might go on the market, back on the market. But see, I think that this is my philosophy. Whether I'm married or not, if I'm with a man and we go out, I don't want him to look back at me and say, damn, I remember when she used to look like that, you know. just because I let myself go. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to get older and all that kind of stuff, but I want him to look back at me and say, my baby still keeps it together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The boy, you're the exception to the rule.
And listen, I like to do it because one thing, this is I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't want to feel like that. I feel like this. You have more power in the relationship even when you take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Within the relationship. When
confidence.
I say power, I mean, you have that confidence and you don't feel like you somebody staying with you out of pity or they looking at you pitifully like, you know. No, I don't want none of that. I want you to
that's my baby.
That's
my
baby. That confidence and self-esteem is sexy. That's paternal for a man or a woman. If you walk around like, baby, I know you don't want to look at me because, nobody wants that. But if you can walk around, hold your head up high and say, come on, baby, I know I look good. Come on, let's go out. Take the girl out tonight. That's sexy.
Exactly. It's sexy, it's hot, and when other men are looking, every man likes another man looking, as long as they don't touch. They like another man looking at their woman. Cause they're like,
and
okay,
every woman likes, I don't want no one on my arm that nobody else wants to look at. Oh, where'd she get that from? That's for pity.
I know. It's nice to have someone.
Well, he must be rich.
Exactly.
Well, people say, yeah, he must be rich.
if he's rich, then they ain't going to say that, huh?
But
it's
still
rich,
that confidence. An ugly rich man don't know he's ugly. An ugly rich man does not know he's ugly.
Because people been lying to him his whole life.
He hold his head up high, and he don't know because that money has convinced him that he's a sexy state he is. Y'all know that.
Look at Pookie. Look at Pookie from New Jack City. What's that?
Mm-hmm.
He look all right now. He look okay.
That ugly, no, there ain't no such thing as an ugly rich man. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's
an
oxymoron. That's an oxymoron. You can't be ugly and rich. That's an oxymoron, Deborah. You gotta be.
If you rich, it cancels out the ugly. Okay, no ugly here.
Right. When you talk about no bills,
they start to get cute.
That's just, I told you. Look at Pookie from New Jack City. Look at Chris Rock. He look all right now. That's that money. He looking good. I feel like a magazine.
Okay,
he got his teeth fixed.
Let's get, look, hey. Look, so we're running out of time we talked about a lot of stuff. We're going to have to do this again, and we're going to focus on one thing since y'all coming back, right?
Yes.
Yes, we got to talk about the swirl.
Oh,
I want to talk about the size matter.
Oh, me too.
And I want to talk about sex.
Okay, well, let's do this. Does size matter?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, it does.
Well, if he's rich, does it matter if he's rich?
Well,
yes.
Are we being...
Ooh,
I mean,
that's a good question.
It matters when we're speaking, when we're saying sexually, being pleasure doesn't matter. Now, do you say, are we going to sacrifice the sexual pleasure for the money? That's another question.
Well, no. You'd be like, my baby tickles me, but he's rich, and I like the way he tickles me. He keeps me laughing.
You know what? I lied.
I lied to myself in the past and convinced myself. In the past, I convinced myself that size didn't matter. And I tell you, that's such a lie. It's a lie. Size does matter. I just didn't have the right size to know that it mattered. And then once I got it, I nailed no.
You said, I can't be without. I can't be without my inches. I need my inches.
There you go. It matters. And then,
so,
did you know
so,
if you
oh, wait
lose
a minute,
your
wait
stomach,
a minute. Angela,
it gets bigger?
Angela, you said size matter. And
size
what did you
matter,
say, Leticia?
I said it depends on the situation.
Okay.
Because if you have 10 things on your list that you need in a man, and he got 9, and number 10 is the size, you're going to rock out.
But see, that's not a question to me. Because we didn't say is size a deal breaker. Because I've been with people that the size wasn't there, but there were so many other things that, okay, this is something we deal with. And like you said, I'm tickled very well. Okay. So to me, the question is different. You know, if you're saying is size a deal breaker, no, it's not a deal breaker, but it does matter when it comes to being pleased in the bedroom, bedroom, whatever it is.
Kitchen.
When it comes to being pleased. Yeah, kitchen.
Call.
You know, so I think we can't confuse the question here.
Okay.
Is it a deal breaker? No.
So, Angela, Damon, we're running out of time. So, listen, I hear exactly what you're saying. You all are saying different things. If it's not a deal breaker, but if you have your druthers, you're gonna go for the package.
Well, for me, size and color matters. I don't want a pink one, so that's for the world conversation. I don't want my stuff pink.
Okay, got it. Okay.
I don't want that either.
I've never experienced.
Mandingo.
I've never experienced outside of my race, so I'm probably not the one to speak about this because I haven't had those experiences. Have I thought about maybe I should try? But for me, it was just never that comfortable connection. It always felt forced, fake, uncomfortable, awkward. So I've never had that connection where I could say, you know what, I tried it and it worked. No, I have no knowledge.
Well,
I don't know.
Okay, well, I have, and I won't talk about it now because we don't have enough time.
All right.
But nevertheless, swirling is becoming very popular for black women. Black men have been doing it for a while, but black women are now doing
swirling.
It in larger numbers. So I have loved this conversation. We are coming back. We're going to do some more real talk about love, sex, and rock and roll. The title might be different. Who knows? But it's all going to be about relationships. So I have enjoyed talking with Damon Molden, Leticia Park, Angela Beard Hardy, and Janine Ingram. She may as well say she was on the show. I enjoyed all of you.
Yes.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank
Jeff.
You.
I just love you. This. We got to do it again because we got too much to talk about, and I try to squeeze it in.
Well, let us know.
Good
night.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace to love.
All right, good night, everybody.
Love will make you toss and turn. Make it toss and turn. Love will make you long and young.